Once again, a warm welcome to anyone joining us on this Lord's Day morning. I'm here once again with my family at home, and due to the COVID-19 virus, we pray that God's most precious word may bless you this morning, and that you may join us today in worship of our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon's title today is taken from Genesis 1:27. That's Genesis 1:27, and it's entitled Created by God for God. Created by God for God. Let us turn in our Bibles to Genesis 1:27. Genesis 1:27 reads as follows. So God created man in his own image. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And so we have in our text today the second part of the 6 days' work. That is the creation of mankind. If we desire to know the truth of our end in this world, we ought to know the beginning. Dear friends, we are made by God for God, aren't we? And we are made by God for a special purpose. And so today I would like us to consider 3 main points in today's sermon. 3 main points. Firstly, mankind is created, not evolved. Mankind is created, not evolved. Secondly, God created us in his own image for a reason. God created us in his own image for a reason. And thirdly, our responsibility towards our Maker. Thirdly, our responsibility towards our Maker. So let's look at our first point to begin with. Mankind is created, not evolved. Dear friends, we are not animals, are we? I'm not an animal. You're not an animal. You are not made anything like the animals. God has made you distinctly different from them for himself. Now, that's not to say that man cannot act like an animal. Of course, we can act like animals. And, of course, we've seen a lot of that recently with people fighting over toilet roll in stores. People can act like animals when they rebel from the God in whose image that they are made in. It is plain to see that many nowadays have rebelled from their Creator in a vain attempt to stop the voice of one's God-given conscience. It is written of David in Psalm 73:22, "So foolish was I, and ignorant I was as a beast before thee." So foolish was I, and ignorant I was as a beast before thee. And of course, this happens when we rebel from our Creator, when we set our minds and our hearts upon the creature. And David here is confessing his foolishness when he envied the wicked. The Puritan Christopher Nessie said, "You must know that man is the masterpiece of the world's Maker." In Genesis 1:26, God calls, as it were, a council in heaven, saying, "Let us make man. Let us make man." The whole of the wisdom of the Trinity was exercised in the making of man. Think about that. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the whole of the Trinity of God was exercised in the making of man. Man is special. Man is peculiar. Man is set aside from the animals. God has bestowed great honor upon mankind. We are made distinct from all other creatures that God has made. In fact, God has given mankind authority and dominion, as we've read in Genesis 1, to direct and to control and use all other creatures for food and clothing and, of course, for comfort, as we have pets, and for blessing. And it is sad to say, isn't it, that many have been deceived by the lie of evolution, because that's what evolution is. It's a lie. The fact of the matter is that there is a huge difference between human life and animal life. God's word, the Bible, clearly distinguishes the differences between man and beast. Man is made for God. We're made in the image of God. He owns us, as it were, and animals are made for man. God has dominion over us. We belong to him. We're made in his own image. He is the owner. And man has dominion over the animals because what God has given us. I'm not going to dwell on the lie of evolution for very long. However, I just want to make a few quick distinctions between mankind and animals, which Mr. Dr. Werner Gitt, G-I-T-T, mentions on the AIG website. He says, on a purely biological plane, there is a wide, unbridgeable chasm between man and beast. Firstly, the human brain possesses qualities that have no parallel in the animal world. One consequence is man's explicit mental capabilities. Secondly, man possesses the faculty of speech, and his creative communication by means of his vocal system is completely different from those of animals. He has the unique ability to pay attention to various matters at will. He has an inconceivably wide range of interests and observation because it is possible to consider spatially and temporally remote objects. He is able to make abstractions and to use his system of signs for metalingual purposes. And thirdly, only man is fully bipedal. He can walk upright because of the special structure of the spine. Thus, our hands are not required for locomotion and are available for other purposes. And lastly and fourthly, he says, only man is able to express emotions, joy, sadness, hope, laughter, shyness. Some animals seem to have similar abilities, but they cannot be compared with human emotions. Just think about it. Animals do not have consciences, do they? The law of God is not written upon man's heart. And so, no one has ever seen an animal overcome by guilt. When killing another animal for food, no one has ever seen an animal overcome by guilt. As 2 Peter 3:5 says about those that deny the God of creation, for this they are willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Those who deny the God of creation, the creator of the heavens or the earth, are willingly ignorant. They deliberately refuse to believe in a designer because of their sin. Dear friends, most teachers and professors and fellows, you name it, within universities and within schools and within the educational system, if we're honest about it, are destitute of the truth because they willingly deny God's truth, don't they, in the Bible. And they believe and they have been brainwashed in the lie of evolution. I mean, think about it. The evolutionist, in effect, will tell you that out of nothing came something. They will tell you that out of nothing came something. And we do not observe this anywhere in God's creation. If you can imagine a tornado or a whirlwind hitting a rubbish dump or a scrapyard, and that scrapyard or that tornado and that rubbish dump turning into a jumbo jet, a fully loaded jumbo jet with all the electrics working, ready to take on board passengers. It is that ridiculous to say that out of nothing came something. It is like a tornado hitting a scrapyard and turning into a jumbo jet, fully ready with all the electrics in place, ready to be used. It is that ridiculous evolution because the world is far more complex and far more complicated than any jumbo jet. It says in Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Unlike the animals, God breathed into man the breath of life so that we became a living soul. Animals do not have souls, do they? Only mankind has souls. Jesus Christ did not come to save animals from their sins, as cute as they can be, for they do not have souls. The Lord Jesus came to save sinful men and women and children from their sins. Those made in the image of God, the pinnacle of his creation, that's who the Lord Jesus came to save. Those made in God's image. So friends, we are made for a special purpose. Do not believe in the lie of evolution. We are created in God's image. We are not evolved. This now brings us to our second point for today's sermon. Secondly, God created us in his own image for a reason. Secondly, God created us in his own image for a reason. Our text says in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Man, which includes woman, is made in God's image for God for a reason. We're made in the image of God for a reason, aren't we? God made only two different genders. Two, man and woman, male and female, not hundreds of different types of genders. Do not believe the powerful and satanic LGBTQ plus lobby groups who are turning feelings, how people feel, and the flat out lusts of many people in the various gender types, they are saying. Over 100, they say there's now over 100 different gender types. This, do not believe in these lies. As a consequence, they want people to disfigure their bodies by taking powerful drugs and having severe operations that change God's design for them. Such groups go under the guise of equality and human rights, but really their plan is to destroy God's design for their life, God's best for their life, and to destroy the institution of marriage and the traditional nuclear family. That's what their design is, to ruin God's design for our lives. In verse 28 of Genesis, one of the first things God did, as we read earlier, for man, was to bless man. He blessed man so man would be fruitful and multiply. God made men and women to have different roles, didn't he? I'm not going to go into detail about the biblical roles at the moment. However, it is certain that most churches today have left off their first love in adopting the world's ways on the roles of men and women. They have surrendered to feminism and have fallen in line with our culture's political correctness on the roles of men and women instead of God's perfect design for the roles, to the detriment, of course, to families and to churches. God created man in his own image for a reason, and that reason is to bring glory to his name, to bring glory to his name. We have been created in God's image and in God's likeness to have a relationship with our Maker. Unless the branch abides in the vine, it cannot bear forth fruit. Unless man abides in his Maker, what good can that man be used for? If we don't abide in our Maker, if the branch doesn't abide in the vine, what good is that man used for? It is that man is good for nothing. Man, unlike the animals, are made both flesh and spirit. So man, unlike the animals, are made both flesh and spirit. Both heaven and earth must be put together to form a man. Think about that. Both that which is from heaven and earth must be put together to make a man. We are, like I said before, the pinnacle of God's creation. We are made of the ground, so to remember the dirt and the pit from which we are made from. And that ought to humble us of our beginnings, where we come from. That ought to humble our pride. We also need to remember that the greater part of us, that part which will last forever, is our soul and our spirit. God breathed into us, into our nostrils. He breathed life into us. And so the greater part for us, the part we are to live for and to give the most attention for, is our souls and our spirits. We are not to live after the flesh like the animals, as if we are just like the animals. We are made in God's image with great honor bestowed upon us. And we are to live for the things of eternity, our souls and our spirits, and not just to gratify the flesh. The Apostle Paul reminds the Corinthian believers of this in 1 Corinthians 6:19. And he's talking to the Corinthians now. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? He is saying, you are not your own. Your bodies and your soul and your spirit, they don't belong to you. They belong to God. They are His. And our souls are made for eternity. They are made, we are made for God. We do not belong to ourselves. We think we might think that we belong to ourselves, but we don't. We belong to God. Our bodies and our souls are on rent to us. They are leased to us. And so we do not owe them. Do not listen to the world or to one's own sinful heart. Do not listen to the world, the flesh, and the devil that will tell you that you can live for yourself, to live for number one in what you want in life. Don't do that. As it says in Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. To live for what we want in life, or how we feel in life, according to our emotions and our feelings, is treason to God. If we live according to our flesh, according to how we feel and not how we are, and not according to the word of God, if we just live like that, we're no better than the animals. It is like the clay saying to the potter that formed it, I know better than you. How stubborn can we be? We can be so stiff-necked and stubborn. See how our sin and our lust deceive us, that we should change and corrupt the glory and honor God has bestowed upon us, and live for the things that will not profit us eternally. This life is going to go over. It's going to be like a vapor, it's going to be over very quickly, and then we're going to be ushered into eternity. And therefore, we need to prioritize the things that will last forever, the soul, our spirits. God forbid that by indulging the body and the desires of the flesh, we should make ourselves like the beasts of the field that perish. Many live like this today in rejecting their Maker. Eat, drink, and be merry, and watch telly, for tomorrow we die. In other words, I'm no different. I'm no different from the cattle. I'll just eat and drink and watch telly and be merry and entertain myself and gratify my flesh. I'm no different from the beasts of the field. I'll just live for myself. There's no true meaning and purpose in life. There's no absolute truth to why I'm here. That is treason, dear friends. I'm no different, in other words, from the beasts. Just living for the here and the now, as if there's no absolute truth, as if there's no saviour, as if there's no creator. I'm just living for the temporary, living a life that is a lie, mocking God and stealing from God every day, from stealing His glory and His honour He has bestowed upon us. Dear friends, we can live like that if we're not living for the Lord Jesus. And well, know this, that for all these things, God will bring us into judgment. If we are to live like this, God will bring us into judgment, because if you or I persist in our sin, and will not hearken to our Maker, you will be counted as a beast and be cast into hell, that beastly place prepared for unrepentant sinners. If you remain hardened in your heart and unrepentant before the Lord, you will be ushered into that place for unrepentant sinners, that place called hell. God has made us in his own image for a reason, and we are made to bring glory to his name for eternity. We are made to live and to enjoy God forever. He made a way for us to be right with him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There is a way to get right with God, to have our sins forgiven, and that way is through Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice of God, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Perhaps there may be some who are listening to this sermon today that are perhaps saying in their hearts, that's not fair, that's not fair. Why should I be punished in hell for eternity for my present sins? Perhaps there are some saying that today. Why should I be punished for eternity for my present sins? I'll tell you why. Because your soul is made for eternity. So that when you sin against the God of eternity. You sin against the soul that God has given you for eternity and the heavens of eternity. As in the case, remember the case of the prodigal son? Remember in Luke 15:18, it says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. We're made for eternity. And so when we sin against everything that we know deep down in our hearts is right. We know that God exists. We know that there's an absolute truth. And we know that we're sinners and we need to repent and turn from our sin to our Creator in whose image we're made. And it is only our sin that makes us persist in that, in our stubbornness. My dear sinner friend, if you are not living for God, if God is not number one in your life, if you have not the Spirit of God dwelling in you, if there hasn't been a time where you've turned from your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not been born again of God, if there hasn't been a change in your heart, in your desires, in your life, then I would urge you to, today is the day of salvation. Turn from your sin this day to God. You know, these are signs, these are a sure marker. If you're still living in your sin, if there hasn't been a change in your heart, if you're not living for Christ as number one in your life, then this is a sure marker that you are still living in your sin. And you must make it a priority to seek God with all your heart until you're saved, until you're found in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. You must do this. We must do this. God has made us for himself in his image. If you reject your Creator, your Creator will reject you. It says in Romans 8:5-7, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. In other words, it is at war against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. No man ever created something without it having a purpose. Why would we create? Why would I create a wall outside for the vegetable patch? Why would we create certain things? For a reason. And God has created us for a reason. And if we refuse to be used for God's pleasure and for God's honor, then what good are we for? It says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let us now move on to our third and on our final point. Thirdly, our responsibility towards our Maker. Thirdly, our responsibility towards our Maker. Genesis 1:27 says again, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Bible commentator Matthew Henry says, let him rule man who said, let us make man. Man was not made in the likeness of any other creature that went before him, but in the likeness of his creator. Yet still, between God and man, there is an infinite distance. What is therefore our responsibility towards our Maker? What is our responsibility towards God, our Maker? Well, surely it is this, that for us to prioritize God, who made us in his image, that is surely is our responsibility, for us to prioritize him who made us. It must be our responsibility to prioritize him, to put him first in life, to seek him first. As it says in Matthew 6:32, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That must be our priority in life. That must be the first thing that we do in life, is to seek God first with our lives. Nothing else has to come first. Not our education, nor our career, nor any other thing. It has to be seeking God first in life to make sure that we're in him and that we're saved. The word own is quite an important one. In Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. We are made in God's own image so that we may know him and put him foremost in our lives. That is why it is such a crime in sight of God to live for the creature instead of living for the Creator, to live for the temporary instead of living for the Maker. We're like animals if we're just living for the temporary. The King of Kings will not tolerate his royal heavenly hallmark to be overstamped and imprinted with a counterfeit as to mar his original design for our lives. He will not tolerate that. The die maker, the tool maker, owns the rights and the patents of those who bear his image. He owns us. We have his image. He owns us. He is therefore the owner of all. He is therefore the Lord of all. And who will dare question him? Will we stick our hands up like proud dust and say, why hast thou created me? We're made for him. Of course, the problem is the dominion and honor God has bestowed upon man has been very much diminished by the fall. The imprinted image of God in many today has been defaced and tarnished now, hasn't it? These noble bodies that we have and souls that God has given to us have been corrupted and tarnished by our sin. Our only remedy, really, is that our hearts be melted down by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be recreated again in him, in Christ. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We're made again. We're made afresh in Christ. All things pass away. Our desires are now heavenward, and the things of this world stop fading away. Our desires are towards our love, towards Christ, who gave himself for us. If we would but look to the one true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose image we bear, for righteousness, for what is right, to how to live our lives, if we are to look to him, he will save us. For why would we look to another? Why would we look to the creature instead of the Creator? every good and wholesome thing that we know of here below is from the Father of lights. He is the fount of every blessing, every good thing that we know and we feel, the common grace that the whole of mankind shares is from God. And every bad and dark thing and grief that we experience, of course, is a result of our sin. What folly it is, therefore, that we look to the things of this world for happiness and for security and for contentment when all they can do is rush us into hell. Remember, today is the day of salvation. If God is calling someone today, if God is calling you today, don't stop the voice of conscience. For in hell, there is nothing wholesome nor good in hell for you to enjoy. A million years will go by, and still no common grace, no relief from the torment of sin, no feeling of love and kindness which you can enjoy now, just constant regret, your worst nightmare living over and over and over again. A million years will go by, and that will still be your case. No relief, just constant regret. And that, of course, will endure forever and ever if you do not acknowledge your Maker and your Creator, of whose image you are made in. He alone can make you whole again. He alone can save you. And the problem is that we rebel from Him, from our Maker, whose image we're made in. We have abused that which belongs to God. We are His. We are made in His own image for Him, that we may go to the source of all knowledge and righteousness and power and holiness. Our responsibility, therefore, to our Maker is to seek God and His righteousness first in everything, with our hearts, with our minds, with our strength, to love God with everything that He has given us. We are to look to Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Bring everything to God. Bring your sin and bring it all to God. Come as you are, and there is mercy to be found. If this day you will be serious about your sin and your neglect of your Maker, and be honest with God about your sinful estate, and plead with Him to save you by believing in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, He will save you. If you will be honest before God, He requires truth in the inward parts. He requires truth in the inward parts. If you'll be honest about your sin and serious over it towards your Maker and believe in what He did on the cross was for your sins, He will forgive you. Believe on what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, that it was for you. Do you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Maker, who rose victoriously over sin and the consequences of sin, death, and made a way for you to be right with Him, for you to be justified in Him, that His spotless robe of righteousness may be put upon you and me, a sinner, when we truly repent and believe in Him? Or will you carry on this day playing games with God, carrying on, persisting in sin? Will you continue to test the long-suffering and patience of your Maker before it's too late? The devil puts good use to lazy and idle minds and hands to do his bidding. God has given us a way back to Him, and that is through the substitutionary atonement and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His sinless blood cleanses us, our sin, our sinful blood, from all our sin. Oh, that the Lord Jesus would wake us up by His sanctifying grace. Do you understand that God is holy? His eyes cannot look upon sin, and so that nothing that defileth can ever enter into heaven. Nothing, no sins can ever enter into heaven. Nothing that sins can ever enter in. Sin has to be punished. No sinful lust can enter into heaven. No sinful thoughts can ever enter heaven. We are made for God, for God, and the Lord Jesus has made a way back to him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because none of our sins can get to heaven. And so the Holy Lord Jesus gave himself, the Son of God, to justify us, to cleanse us from sin. It says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Can I ask a frank question? Do you fear God? Do you fear God more than man? Have you received the Lord Jesus into your heart? Do the commandments mean something to you? Do you love the commandments? Do you delight to keep God's word? Do you delight to keep God's Sabbath day holy? Do you delight in these things? Do you truly repent over your sins and ask for God's help, for Christ's help? Do you depend upon the Lord Jesus? Man is made for a reason. We are made to glorify our Maker with our lives. And we can only truly glorify God if we are in Jesus Christ, if we've been saved. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Let me say that again. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And to end today's sermon, I'll be ending on Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We are made in the image of God for God, and we need to prioritize him first in life. If we do not, we will be lost forever. We have to put God first in our lives, and the only way we can do that is if we seek the Lord Jesus with our lives. We are made for him, for his glory. We are not made like the animals. I hope and pray that everyone in this room and everyone that listens to this message will take God seriously and live for him and not listen to the world and the flesh and the devil, but will listen to his voice, the Good Shepherd's voice, for his glory and for his name.